Welcome back to the Reformist Pipeline, your dose of empowerment and the pipeline to inform your decisions on how you can support change in our education system. If you don't know already, this is Lindsay, affectionately known as Miss Blue.
And I'm Hottie Hot, Mr. Broussard, if you're feeling Tinder.
Tinder.
Yes, I'm feeling Tinder. I will probably get into a little bit more about why I'm feeling Tinder later.
Okay. Advocates, we're back with season two, semester two. As you know, this season we're breaking our content down across two semesters. We're glad to be back and to have y'all support for all of what we have planned for this one. Now, this semester, there's a specific way that you can support us outside of listening and sharing. Donations! Woo. Yes! Woohoo! We are full-time employees, yes, using our spare time and spare funds to fuel this pipeline. We are growing. Help us continue to grow by donating to our PayPal at The Reformist Pipeline. You can also send some cash monies to our personal cash apps. Mine is at MamaLens22. Hottie's is at HottieHod, right? That's familiar. That'll also be in the description, so please feel free to take a look at that. Your monetary support allows us to buy equipment, studio time, and we want to be able to give y'all merch. And if you miss any of that, again, check it out in the description. But your monetary donations are really going to fuel this great project that we have called our live show.
Yes.
We are finally having our live show. I'm not going to talk too much about it here because we're going to get around to it in our concept development. But your funding will also support us in doing that.
Yes, and so go ahead and also, if you haven't caught up with season one or the beginning of season two, visit our website at thereformistpipeline.com to catch up on all the things that you have missed. And might we also suggest that you stay engaged with us on social media? Go ahead and follow us on Instagram at thereformistpipeline, follow us on Twitter at TRPAdvocates, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Now let's get into the reason as to why I was feeling Tinder.
Get into it, yes.
So yes, Lynn, so many don't know, but there's this place called The Gathering Spot here in DC. Their founding location was in Atlanta, and I'm a member.
Many don't know, but I'm elite. You are inferior.
I cannot, no, but so they are hosting a founding members gala, and Anthony Hamilton is going to be performing, and so I'm super, super, super excited.
I'm not gonna lie, y'all know what that is.
What?
Ebony Hamilton.
Anthony Hamilton.
Anthony Hamilton. Yes. I thought you said Ebony, and I'm like,
no.
Ooh, some underground artist. Anthony Hamilton?
Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes, and so for those that don't know, I actually want him to perform at my wedding, like all of the songs.
She said she's tired that I'm all
okay.
Road.
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
Yes. Okay.
Wow.
So yes, I had to hurry up and buy an outfit. So did that.
Can't wait to see the fit.
Throwing it together. Need to figure out if I'm gonna be able to get a haircut, but if not, I'll be all right.
Your hair is not that bad. But
yeah, you know how I am though.
Right.
So that's one of the biggest things I'm excited for this weekend. Secondly, Paris. I think I may have mentioned that I'm going to Paris in November, but that might get delayed for a good reason. My friend is interviewing for two writer's roles. And so that would mean that we have to move our trip. And so I'm like, go ahead, sis.
Please, okay.
So yeah, I'll definitely have to circle back and let everyone know if she gets the role or not. Or which one she decides to take, rather.
Which one she decides to take. Because opportunities are in abundance, yes, baby.
And then lastly, I've been working. But I've been more so just trying to ground myself in my career trajectory. So like, where do I want to go? Where do I want to be right now? And so I have just really been leaning into this role that I'm in. Because, you know, after you've been at a place for a year, you kind of like are like, okay, well, like, what's next? And so I think for the first...
Millennials be like, I've been here for 3 days. What do I want to do now?
Yeah, see, a year is like dog years. And these, and the way that professionalism and working in a place today, I just think that, like, a year is a major milestone. But all that to say, I really am starting to love my role, more importantly because of the people that I get to speak to and like kind of empower them through what I'm doing. And always even though I'm not in the classroom anymore, just talking to all these educators and just really moves my heart into a good place to see that there are people in these classrooms, because child, This Great Resignation wave, let me tell you about it. It is real, and I commend all my educators that are leaving the classroom, so I just had to say that. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
Because it's not all it's cracked up to be.
It really is not.
It's giving slavery.
It is. But what's going on with you, boo?
My update is really that I've been focused on doing what makes me happy. And like, you know me. Yes. I'm an overachiever, and I'm always doing 101 things.
Absolutely.
And I'm just like, oh, I said, told that person I was going to be there, I'm going to be there. Oh, I said I was going to do this today, I'm going to do it. But I'm trying to prioritize things on, like, what genuinely brings me joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've been indulging a little bit.
Yeah.
Too much. But just doing what makes me happy. Being present for my friends, that makes me happy. I had a friend, she was like, she don't drive. And she was like, can you take me to the laundromat? And I was just like, girl, you can come over here and do your laundry.
Yes.
And she has a baby, right? So it was just nice that she, it was nice to be able to support her. There's a couple other things we had to do, but we then turned it into dinner at the end of the night. And I was just like, this is really nice.
Yes.
This is what I want to have time to do. And not be exhausted while doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to pour into the people that I really love. Cause I take this friendship shit very, very seriously. So, yeah, having time to talk to people, if I feel like talking to people. I ain't been feeling like really talking to people lately.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, that's all. That's really the update. Doing what makes you happy and putting yourself first, even though some people are sometimes offended and uncomfortable with you putting yourself first.
Yeah, that is so true. That is so true. Yes.
Still going to do it regardless.
Exactly. Agreed.
Moving into our segments, we know it's been a long time since everybody's really heard of all of our segments. So we're going to give you a taste of all three, especially if you are a new listener. We rotate through three different segments. First one is terminology time. This is where we share a word that is commonly used within the education field. You'll probably hear it in the episode of that day. But remember, our goal is to be the pipeline between educators and non-educators, and we deeply believe that there has to be a common language between us before we can move forward. So this is our opportunity to really make sure our listeners, both non-educator and educator alike, understand what we're talking about.
Amen. And so today's word is a two-part, and it's budget reconciliation. Mm. Woo! Got it out the first time. All right, so this is basically a special process that allows for bills within Congress to be fast-tracked from consideration to implementation in the Senate specifically. And this is significant right now because we have a Congress that is basically split. And let me be more specific. We have a Senate that is basically split 50-50. We got 50 Republicans, 48 Democrats, and 2 independents. And with that being said, this process, instead of needing the typical 60% of senators to vote in favor of a bill to get it passed, you simply just need a majority. We'll get into this topic a little more during our 2 sets of notes segment, but just wanted to start and spark that idea there. Lindsay, what's going on in We Love the Kids?
Yeah, because I have some thoughts about that. We Love the Kids is actually my favorite segment. I feel like it's everybody's favorite segment, but it could be me projecting. This is just an opportunity where me and Jihad get to express to you a time that an interaction that we had with a student. Usually it's funny. Usually it's pretty entertaining because we want y'all to know the crazy stuff that happened.
Okay.
Sometimes the crazy stuff is a little sad too.
Yes.
But this one is hilarious, y'all.
Talk to me.
So I have a, I'm going to call him Twin. You know, at my school, this seventh grader, he's like a human calculator. But he just like, he likes to irritate me. We get along though. That's my dog personally. He'd be walking my class. He'd be like, what's up, OG? I said, what's up, Twin? I'm like, we're gonna have a good day today? Probably not. All right, bet. See you later. Mm-hmm. But we really only have an hour max of us getting along. And my block with him is 75 minutes. So it gets to a point where he'd be like, he gets rude. And I'd be like, okay, you're gonna, he's like, well, I need help. Are you gonna apologize to me? What? What do I need to apologize for? Okay, I'm not helping you.
Okay.
I said, I don't lose a wink of sleep. Not helping you. So you figure it out.
Okay.
That's not even the part.
Struggle through it.
This man, he's also one of those kids that thinks the rules don't apply to him. Get on my damn nerves. And like, he was telling me that he don't have rules at his mom's house. But at his dad's house, I said, what happens when you break rules at your dad's house? He's like, I don't know, because I don't break rules at my dad's house.
Oh.
I was like, damn.
Wow.
So speaking of doing whatever you want, I wasn't at work the other day, right? Mm-hmm. I got a text message from one of my colleagues. And she was like, I know you're probably resting, but I had to send you this message. She's like, your favorite student. I'm like, don't play with me. She said, your favorite student decided to use his phone to order DoorDash to the school.
Shut up.
What?
Shut up. What?
First of all, your phone is supposed to be in the locker.
Oh my God.
And you know this, man. It's supposed to be in his locker. So you're telling me you had your phone on you the whole time. And then you decided that you wanted DoorDash? What was the plan?
Right.
What was the plan? Like, in the middle of class, you're going to go leave to go get it? What was the plan?
Wow. I didn't even think about anything like that. Like, I didn't think it was even possible. Like,
because, sir, what?
This is hilarious.
Because, sir, what?
Wow. So, I'm just curious. Did he get to eat the food?
The vice principal went to go get the food. That would have stayed there.
Absolutely. Throughout the day.
You can play with me if you want to. Because I don't care. I love it. Just insanity.
I cannot. That is hilarious. That is definitely hilarious. Wow.
I hope everybody got a good laugh at that as we move into two sets of notes. Hottie's going to take it off, set us off. However, I want to just give a brief explanation. Two sets of notes is usually a time where we discuss a current event and its impact it has on students and education more broadly. Because again, we're trying to be the pipeline, right, of reform, trying to build this common knowledge, this common language. And there are a lot of things that happen day to day that actually impact the education system because it's all interconnected and we just want to shine a light on that interconnectedness. So, Heidi, what we got today?
Let's get into it, Mama Lynn. So, there's been a buzz of folks talking about Biden proposing that he's defunding HBCUs in his most recent budget that he submitted to Congress. In his proposal, he allocated $45 billion in new funding for HBCUs and other minority-serving institutions. However, there's been this social media meme that's been going around talking about Biden's defunding HBCUs. He's trying to cut the funding down to 2 million. However, that is just simply not true. Myth busted. So basically, there was actually $4 billion that Biden had. So since Biden has been in office, Biden has attributed $4 billion in the American Rescue Plan that went to HBCUs to help with the COVID recovery. In addition to that, Biden also was able to successfully get $1.6 billion toward debt forgiveness for 45 HBCU campuses. So I know that we heard there was like this theme going around of Howard forgiving of student debt, of all these different HBCUs forgiving money of student loans and things that students had. And people were probably like, why? Like, why is this happening all of a sudden? It's because the government was giving them money. And so, in addition to that, Biden also ordered the Department of Education to give $1 billion to institutions who have high populations of minorities, which also turned out to be about $500 million of that money going towards HBCUs. So all that to say, I just wanted to take a second today to say, don't believe everything that you read and do the research, folks. Like, it's so important. And let me be crystal clear. I am not an advocate of this administration, the Biden-Harris administration. I definitely think that there is a lot more accountability that we need to be talking about and things that we should be mentioning and protesting about. But at the same time, do the research before you just believe and repost whatever you see, because it's not always true. And this is something that was not true. Mm-hmm. This man did try to allocate $45 billion, billion with a B, towards HBCUs in this upcoming Build Back Better plan that is currently in Congress. What are your thoughts on that, Lynn?
This is why I hate social media, but I love social media because I'm a social media head, yes. Right? But this is also, this is probably the most perfect two sets of notes because generally what we say two sets of notes means, that's what it is. But also, like, there's two sets of notes.
Yes.
Because y'all read this, ran with it, and believed it. Mm-hmm. And now here are the details.
Yeah.
And budget is just in general, budget is just such a big thing in schools. And that's what I want to highlight for people, that these schools are businesses.
Amen.
Like, of course, I'm speaking from like the charter school experience. That's the only experience that I have. But these schools are businesses at the end of the day. Money is not being put where it needs to be put.
Yep.
So you may read something like, oh, this school got this amount of money donated to them, and you might think it's all gravy, right? Mm-hmm. It's cool, but you don't know how it's actually being funded.
Yeah.
So I just think it's super important to know the systems in which we operate in and how they impact us, and don't just follow along with a meme. Do a little bit of research. That's a common thread, though. I feel like people be saying it all the time, and it's just not clicking for all.
It's not. It's not. And yeah, so all that to say, this week's two sets of notes, please make sure you're checking your facts, people. Check your facts.
We are moving on. Do, do, do. Moving on. If y'all know what song that is, $50 for you. Imaginary dollars. But we are moving on to concept development. For those that don't know, and for those that need a reminder, concept development is where we actually get into the meat of the issue, the topic that is at hand. Concept development for teachers and students inside a classroom is when we actually get into the common core standard, the skill of that day. We're developing the concept in the minds of the students. So we're taking this time to develop the concept in the mind of our advocates and listeners.
Yes.
We want to just go over our mission, right? Because as we continue to grow, this is what's keeping us rooted. So our mission is to be a platform that serves as a pipeline between educators, the education system, and non-educators, our advocates, you people, and your friends. TRP is a space that transparently educates the people on authentic occurrences in schools. The goal is to push people beyond the use of traditional buzzwords like school-to-prison pipeline. I know that's a big favorite, but we gotta push past it. We gotta get a little deeper and to truly understand what these concepts look like in context. So with this knowledge, we believe that we can continue to engage more and more people in advocacy in order to create sustainable change in our education system. And the key word there is sustainable right there. We have to really dig deep, and we have to have non-educator voice in this battle in order to choose intentional practices, systems, and routines within individual schools, within school systems across the nation. In order for them to be sustainable, right? Y'all have heard about small changes that happen. Oh, well, school is doing gardening. Oh, school is doing this. But sometimes it's not sustainable because the people have chosen to do that. So let's say a principal has a connection with the Green Scheme, which is a nonprofit here in DC that tries to get urban communities really hip with gardening and what it means to create your own produce for yourself. Principal has a relationship with that person, so now that person comes in and teaches the kids about gardening. But y'all know the turnover rate for teachers and principals is relatively high, right? And so once that turnover happens, then the relationships are also lost because it's not sustainable yet. Mm-hmm. And we really need support from everyone to ensure that these practices that we want to see our kids involved in actually are sustainable. So that is why in semester one of season two, so if you're just hopping in, we're suggesting you go back and do some listening. We just approached the idea of the ideal school from different lenses. An ideal school is exactly what it sounds like. We're asking people, well, what would an ideal school for you as an individual look like? Mm-hmm. What were things that you thought did really well, you learned from? What were things that you wished that you saw? We took a lot of different lenses, talked about race from the Black experience. We do expect that in the future we can talk about race from experiences of other races. So if you are of other races and you would like to be on an episode to talk about your ideal school experience, holla at a play. We also talked about gender and sex. I really enjoyed that episode.
That was one of our best ones.
That is a shameless plug. If you need to know where to start, yes, Go to the gender and sex episode. And just talking about how that plays a role in schools. Mm-hmm. Whether people want to be like, kids don't need to learn about this or not. Mm-hmm. Y'all, Girls know that they've been socialized as girls in kindergarten. Boys know that they can fight and get dirty and not get in trouble in kindergarten. So to say that gender and sex does not play a role, you really have to push beyond your thinking so we can create these sustainable systems for our education system.
Talk about it.
We talked to mamas.
Yes.
We did talk to our moms.
Those were some good. That was a good episode too.
That was good. Our moms be having gems.
Yes, they do.
Because moms really, they just be holding it down.
They get it.
Honestly, they're the ones, and this is not no discredit towards fathers, because we also interviewed our dads.
Yes, we did.
But their role in schools is more major than the father's roles in the schools. Mm-hmm. That's not a belief of mine. That's not something I'm trying to manifest. That's the reality and the facts.
Yeah.
So talking to them, talking to actual parents was a really great experience. And I really would press y'all to go back and listen to those episodes as well. And y'all gonna hear this. It's gonna be ongoing. But through the lens of COVID.
Woof.
An ideal school through the lens of COVID, of course, that is like a growing idea, because what the hell does that look like? But we told y'all what it looks like, and we have some more ideas on what the shit should look like, honestly. Because generally, we just want our schools to be inclusive, right? Which is why we're coming from all these different lenses. And we need radical change.
Talk about that.
Radical change. Because the school system, the system is outdated. And people don't know that. I can't remember this man's name. But people don't know that schools were made to create workers.
Yes.
So
talk about
they're like,
that.
We have these industrial
was
jobs.
Was it Horseman?
Huh?
Was it Horseman?
It's not going to ring a bell for me, but...
It may have been Horseman.
Okay, cool. We can go with that. But essentially, the idea was that we need workers. In order for us to have workers to do the work, they need to know how to do the work. Mm-hmm. So we're creating systems that are called schools to make people be workers. That's what our education system is based on. So there's a lot of old practices that really don't hold major value. Like right now, you got a whole school, the students, the teachers, admin team, and the principal is at the top of the admin team. Why is the principal the center of everything? Mm-hmm. That's how it's viewed. Yeah. We don't need to do that.
Right.
Teachers' expertise should be honored, but we are so indoctrinated into this system of really power hoarding and building a hierarchy so certain people can power hoard, because that's how it was built before.
Yep.
We don't need a principal. We can try a different approach, but people are so used to doing what they've already known. And the reformist pipeline is trying to push for radical change. Mm-hmm. That's what we need, radical change.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that, like, don't get us wrong. Like, I think that there's probably communities out there where a principal makes the most sense. But there are certain communities where it doesn't make the most sense because of the way that the principal was elevated into leadership, because of the way that the principal probably doesn't actually know the community, because of the way that the principal actually probably has never even taught. Like, there are these things that we could get into and have conversations about, but we're not doing enough interrogating of the system to question it. And so that's what the Reformers Pipeline is about, is asking why. Like, why is this person the leader of literacy if they've never have taught literacy? Mm-hmm. Why is this person leading special education when they maybe have never even written an IEP before? So, like, these are the questions that we want people to know about so that they are equipped with that and they go into school. And so when your child does have a parent-teacher conference, you're able to have a conversation with your child's teacher and say, hey, what have you done? What was your education experience like? So that your student could get whatever they need. And so that's what that radical change is about.
It is. And it's funny, that just reminded me, if you are not following the Instagram page at the Reformist Pipeline, please do so now, because we've also hopped onto this red flag trend.
Yes.
Okay. How we're out of players from one. It's from yesterday. I'm getting better at it. But one of the red flags that I actually shared from a different page that I really felt was admin who were never teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Admin who were never teachers. And my mom responded to me and was just like, I didn't even know until you told me that admin can get to administration and not be teachers or not have experience and stuff. Yep. And I'm like, this is what we're talking about. This is why Jihad is talking about, we're trying to teach you what questions to ask, because that, my mom, 50 years old, y'all. Okay, she had two kids. Okay, period. She had two kids through the school system, but she never fathomed the thought that admin would not have teaching experience. And that is why we're here pushing this idea.
Yeah.
Because that's crazy.
It is. It's just like a lot of assumptions that are made. And I think that this is the reason why we, like, you can go into season one where we talk about, like, what does it take to even become an educator? But that's like a separate conversation. But I think the reality of it is that these are the reasons why we need to have these conversations, because there needs to be more accountability and people just don't know. Like, we know, y'all just don't know what it takes to become a teacher. You just don't know what it takes to be elevated into a leadership role mm-hmm. at a school. You just don't know what it takes to open up a new start charter school in DC. All it takes is an application. All it takes is for you to have be plugged into the right network of folks who can sign the dotted line and vote and say, yes, I believe that you should open up that school. But that those folks who are voting, they may not even have been in a classroom as a teacher. They could just be career politicians. They could just be career businessmen. Yeah. And that is not okay. And so, like, we need parents say. We need community say. We need, like, y'all, we are stakeholders too. And this is the reason why we're trying to reform what these processes and what these systems look like, because we can. But we only can do that if we're doing it collectively and trying to just change the norm.
Literally.
Let's do it.
Radical change, damn it.
Radical change.
And we need it because, like, this experience as a teacher, y'all, is very soul-wrenching. And the more and more conscious I become, and the more and more of an advocate for my people and students and myself that I become, me and the school system is not in alignment.
Yeah.
And they don't like people that's not in alignment.
Yeah.
They really don't like it. Like, they want us to be strict on uniform policy. And don't get me wrong, like, some of the foundation of uniform policy is that some people are more well off than others. Mm-hmm. It actually eliminates some conversation and bullying when everybody has to wear the same thing, right? And some kids are bought into that, right?
Right.
But the piece of the uniform, I'm not even talking about that part.
Right.
The uniform policy where, like, oh, you can't wear a sweatshirt unless it is from the school.
Mm-hmm.
So at my school, they can't wear the sweatshirt, right? And they can't, even if it's a zip up and they have it open, they can't wear it. They have to put it underneath their, have to put it on underneath their uniform shirt and wear the uniform shirt on top. Why? Why?
Yeah, that stuff like that kills me, Lance. And I think that I hate the fact that we've gotten away from this mindset that we don't need to explain ourselves. Like, to students and to families. Like, and so, like, these kids, they'd be asking the right question, like, why can't I do it? Like, I'm still wearing the uniform and it's 30 degrees in this classroom. And who am I to sit there and say, no, you need to freeze. You deserve to freeze. Okay. Like, what do I look like?
You look crazy.
Okay, and I'm not doing that. That's not going
to
be my battle.
Exactly. They're like, we need to double down on, first of all, no. We need to double down on, like, kids in uniform. No, we don't.
No.
That is just because that's the one thing. The admin are also confused with what to do. And so they're going to lean on what is the path of least resistance, because it takes less thinking, because it's something you already have instilled.
Yes.
But my kids come into class with the sweatshirt, that's fine, because y'all not changing the temperature. I don't have the ability to change the temperature in my classroom.
Yeah.
So if they're cold and they have to sit the whole day, right, they already had to do that, but they really have to do it because we're not supposed to get up and move around to be 3 feet apart.
To the COVID, yep.
Let them niggas wear that jacket.
Okay.
My principal talking about some, oh, because they have to buy a school jacket, right?
And that's my other issue.
They're in seventh grade. The last time they was in school was in fifth grade. They have grown. They can't even wear the old shit.
Right.
But he talking about, oh, we're not going to buy it till it gets, like, fall. They started school in August. It's cold in the buildings in August.
Right.
They just like last week, got them in for a purchase.
That's crazy.
I'm just like, you don't get that?
I really don't like that. And I also, because I have been at campuses, I think that this was when I first started teaching too, to where they make you purchase it. And, like, they may give you vouchers, but, like, parents still have to come out of pocket for these uniforms as well. Mm. And that's my other issue. Like, you're still creating a barrier. Not saying that parents don't have the monetary resources, but some don't. Like, that's a reality for certain families. And then even if the school gives out one, is one enough?
Is like one enough?
So then it's the parents' responsibility to watch that one coat every however many days. Like, that's a lot. And I don't think that we're truly... And just like we said before, what's the rationale? Like, what's the true purpose? And that's why, yeah, I don't like that. I really don't.
Because they want us to do that, but like... We don't have all the PPE we need.
Right. That's...
Where are my wipes at? My disinfectant wipes? At the very freaking least. Wow. And where are my dividers?
Wow.
I didn't get dividers until like 4 weeks in. And then when I got them, they weren't the standard dividers that we had before. So they don't even fit. Wow. Right? So we talking about, you want me to be hard ass on uniforms, right, but you don't have Lysol wipes for me. You don't have PPE, which reminds me of what's going on at Howard University right now.
Talk about that, okay, please.
Because the HU Student Alliance wanted to hold a forum with the leaders, right?
Okay.
For many things. And one of the reasons, and we'll get into more of them, is that there's just not enough PPE, and in terms of COVID testing, they don't have COVID testing available at times that are really conducive for schedules. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of loose on COVID, so they don't feel safe, right? So they wanted to hold a forum with the leaders, and they didn't show up.
Wow.
They didn't show up.
I thought it was their job to represent the university. Serve the students. And serve students, right.
Liars.
Of course not.
So they enlisted the help of the Live Movement, or the Live Movement. My bad. My apologies. Go look them up on Instagram, because they're using the movement to try to make some necessary some changes. Mm-hmm. They staged a sit-in, and they're taking over, yes, Blackwell, which is like the cafeteria, for people that don't know. Like, not the cafeteria. It's like... It's like the center, mm-hmm, of school. The cafeteria is on one floor. Mm-hmm. Got another restaurant. This is where like you can book rooms for events. This is where the student governments live, mm-hmm, and other clubs have meetings in there. But they taking that thing over. They on day three right now.
Yes, I love that. A, I love to hear student voice. But B, I love when student voice is radical and radical with purpose, right? Like, they're just not doing this just because, for just for shits and giggles. They're like, no, like, we deserve to have our rights because these are the things that y'all promised, and you're not meeting your end of the bargain. And for me to pay all this money as a student of Howard University, absolutely, you need to figure this out. And this is what we're talking about. Like, it's about accountability. And so to see these students up here asking and saying, like, these are the demands, and it's over basic shit. Like, this they're not asking for, like, the world. They're not asking for $5,000 to be deposited into their Bison account or anything like that.
They're asking for housing.
Housing.
At a timely rate. They're asking to not be on hold for 2 hours for someone to tell you for 30 seconds, oh, yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. What?
That's an issue.
What?
Right.
Like,
it's crazy.
And it's funny because, I mean, there's other things that they're specifically asking for. One of the main things is they want board representation reinstated for students, alumni, and faculty, because they took students and student voting power, mm-hmm, off of the Board of Trustees over, yep, I think, over the summer. They got backlash on social media. So for y'all to not think that we wanted this stuff back, and that's what's pissing me off, is that this is also stuff you already have systems for.
Yep.
You already have a system for this. You just have to reinstate it.
Yep.
So people feel like that they are heard. And then they just want a physical town hall meeting with Frederick, the HU president and the admin, in October. And I think they said that a couple of representatives from the student government met with him, right?
Yeah, I think that's the most recent update. They're in open discussion. And I think that what's frustrated me the most is to see the university's retaliation against the students who immediately started the sit-in. It is abominable to hear that instead of going to meet your students where they're at, you're talking about code of conduct violations. That is, the code of conduct violations are some of the conditions that some of these students have had to live through. Mm. The code of conduct violations are some of the bullshit that I had to experience as a student at that university. So if we want to talk about code of conduct violations, we could talk about the countless emails that I've sent to the dean of the School of Education and no response. To get on a call and have to wait till the last second to get registered for classes, and me crying to my father back in California as a 20 plus year old man who literally was just in a state of disarray because I was working a full-time job, because I was in school as a full-time student. And so, like, these are the things that are stories that, and countless stories might I add, that have been left out of the conversation. And so to see these students demanding radical change is what I am here for. And I hope that they don't stop until they get every single thing that they deserve.
Period.
Because this is what sparks change. And I think that this is what I was mentioning to Lynn earlier is, this is much bigger than just present day. This is about the students that are going to come after these students leave. And this is about setting a precedent for other universities throughout our country to say that this enough is enough. This is what radical change looks like. And this is the bare minimum that we will take for all students throughout this country. So Howard is a leading premier institution that some of the greatest of great Black Americans, African Americans have graduated from that institution, and they will be rolling over in their grave to see some of the things that are happening at this school. So this is what I'm about. I want to see more of this.
The ancestors are mad.
Mad.
We talking about code of conduct. Let me be clear. I love the bros.
Talk about them.
But them niggas is going to fight and break code of conduct. Like, and I'm not saying they haven't been consequenced or penalized, but they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Living in Cook, every Cook social, the football players was fighting. Mm. They was fighting. Lack of code of conduct.
Hmm.
And we talking about code of conduct, and I really don't want to really get into this and trigger warning for sexual assault. But it's so many rapists that you still have on that campus.
Talk about that.
And we talking about code of conduct. That's why y'all always have Title IX issues. So don't talk to me about code of conduct with the students trying to live at this point. Because these students are trying to create their ideal school.
Yes.
And that's what it is.
Hmm.
They're trying to create their ideal school and what is comfortable for them and their livelihood, okay?
Hmm.
So if you're someone that would like to help, I would tell you to go follow at the Live Movement on Instagram. They're looking for donations of food and supplies, if you're able to, like monetary donations, if you're able to drop off food and supplies. They're also telling people to stay away.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't agree, you don't want to be there, that's fine. That's your own prerogative.
Absolutely.
But don't come up in they stuff, mm-mm, especially maskless is what I saw somewhere. I'm like, damn, y'all.
Right.
Don't come up in they stuff trying to tell them what to do and how to do their thing. If you don't want it, go ahead. Get involved. Stay involved. Just stay in the know. Figure out any way that the student government needs support and follow and sign all of their petitions. That's all I can really say about that. And I think what's really cool about them creating their ideal school is that we're moving into a space where students are like, I have rights.
Yes.
We've been in a space for too long where students and kids are not granted the same civil rights as other people. And it's just not fair.
Yeah.
And they're not going for it.
Yep.
But what I really love about this, the teacher in me, we don't have to all have the same talents.
Yeah.
We don't, like, there's a young woman who seems to be leading it.
Mm-hmm.
There's people whose talent is speaking, so they're sharing their testimonies. Some people don't really want to be, they want to be hands off, but that's okay. Give me your money.
Right.
Give them their money. And then I'm looking at the page, I'm like, these are some nice graphics.
Right.
Like, there's a graphic that's really nice. That means somebody had to create that. That's a talent. There was like a whole events of schedules from like mid-afternoon to 2 a.m. About what they're going to do in Blackburn, the food that's being donated, the movies they're going to watch. Somebody had to plan that event.
Yep.
Someone had to schedule that. So like, it's just beautiful to see the talents that these students probably didn't learn in school, right?
Right.
They might have got a little influence or inspiration.
Yes.
But they're using it to fuel their rights. To fuel their access to their rights. There we go. That makes more sense. And create their ideal school.
Yes.
It's like full circle.
And it's literally what we represent as an entity is calling. It's not just about us being here and talking about it. Like, this is where the action comes in, right? Like, it's about the monetary donations. It's about us bringing more awareness to the situation that is happening at Howard. And these situations, let us be clear, they happen all the time. And that's the reason why I feel like it's even more important to think about this collectively and all these people coming together. I just love that.
I love it too. And that's kind of like a good segue into why we're doing semester two, y'all. It's kind of like, think of it as kind of like a funnel, okay? The ideal school, we're aiming for educators and folks involved in the education system to be interviewed by us, right? That's kind of like how we started semester one. There's a lot of people that had some tidbits within education. But now we're doing the same thing, but we're kind of taking a different take on it and getting some other people in and hearing their voices to really focus on and frame the potential problems. Like, we're going to focus on the problems that we're seeing and from different aspects. And then we're going to talk about people's real lived experience in their classrooms, in their school, in their communities. And once we have all these potential problems gathered, we're actually going to have some specialists come on in. Would you like to briefly talk about who the specialists are that are going to analyze our problems?
Yes, let me talk about them. So the specialist is going to be the Bridge Ed Collective. Ooh. And the Bridge Ed Collective is an entity that's working on doing some educator training. And we really believe in, I'm saying we because I'm part of that too. We believe in really trying to educate the holistic educator, but more so grounding it in their identity. Oftentimes, educators go into classrooms and think that they have to become this person that they aren't. And we really want to focus on what tools do you have? What schemas have you built from your educational experience, from your cultural upbringing, from any type of experience from your background? What does that mean to you being an educator today? And how can you contribute that to the education system? And so with that, we're also going to be having all other types of guests for this upcoming season, semester. And those are going to be from sex positive podcasters.
Yeah.
To some lawyers, hopefully, to some other creatives such as the rappers, the real estate agents, and different people in other aspects of education. And last but not least, we just want to bring your attention to what we mentioned before, which is our live show, which is going to be at No Kids Allowed.
The best part.
Go ahead and buy your tickets.
Buy your tickets. They're
live
right now.
In the link tree. Go ahead and go to it.
They're live.
The show will be on October the 25th at 7 p.m. And if you come to the live show, you might find out why we ended up flicking twice.
Yeah, why we had to push this back twice.
Yes.
But we're saving that for the people that come to the live show.
Pull up. And last but not least, there may or may not be some gifts that you can go ahead and get at the live show, which is another reason why you need to pull up. And we just want to shout out our amazing sponsors / partners at No Kids Allowed for partnering with us.
And that's really the call to action, y'all. The call to action is to pull up on us, okay? At the Reformist Pipeline live show in DC, as Jihad already said. For people that don't remember what No Kids Allowed is, you'll see it in the description, but it's the second best rated Initiative 71 compliance store in Washington, D.C., offering an extensive menu of exotic marijuana gifts, y'all. They're down with the teachers.
Yeah.
Okay? They're down with the educators. So please, please, please go ahead and buy your tickets. If you're unable to actually make it to DC, we will have a way that you can still stay engaged. So stay tuned and follow us at the Reformist Pipeline so that you can actually get all these updates.
Amen.
And with that,
that's all we got. Peace, love, and light.
Hootie hoo.